B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Well, a happy, happy Friday, and it is Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. So it's Friday, still being something, all right? Still good, put you in a good move. Favorite day of the week has always been Friday. I'm a big Friday guy. I think everybody's a big Friday guy. Friday has always been the best day. Always a favorite day of the week, and it really is. Even though I know some of the days feel like you lost track, how they sort of blend together, it's still Friday. So we're still here. We're still with you. And let's get through this tough, tough time together. Lots to do today. We're going to have some fun today. Today is get you set for your weekend viewing. Today's going to revolve all around television and watching TV and movies and sports and the whole thing. So without sports, we're going to do sports movies and stuff like that. So all that stuff that's a lot of fun, we will throw back today. And since, you know, we've had a lot of vet talk this week, and I'm sure we'll continue to have some more vet talk today, some vet talk. 1980 NFC Championship game, Eagles and Cowboys. And you know what's amazing to me? It's funny. When you're a kid, the world seems so big to you, right? And you have no concept of, wow, other than the bigness of it. And like all of us that are sports kids growing up, you know, we look at, no matter what era you grew up in, you look and you go, oh my God, these amazing gladiators. So we're back to the 1980 NFC Championship game. And that was like a big deal for, and you guys know the history of it. It's Eagles Cowboys. We had an inferiority complex with the Cowboys. We hated Dallas. There were all the Dallas creeps that were among us. Whole thing, right? And so 1980 was the day the Eagles enacted revenge. Happened in 1981. I was a little boy. I went to the game with my father. He had I never forget the green army blanket that he used to take down the shore, which was the worst. But it was the green army blanket. It was a freezing, you know, just bitter, bitter day at the vet. But the thing that I'm getting at is, so I'm a little boy. I'm thinking, oh, my God. For years and years and years, I remember this game as being this epic battle. And dominant Dick Vermeil. And then I'm talking to Tunis this morning. And we were talking about, and he says, do you realize that Ron Jaworski was 9 of 29 in that game? And I was like, I had no idea. No idea that Jaws was 9 of 29 in the game. And the Eagles won 20-7. Could you imagine winning the NFC title game and the quarterback going 9 of 29? I mean, it must have been just a different game. Like, that's wild. Good morning, Tunis.
Yeah, that was a good morning. That was... seeing those numbers,
29.
Seeing those numbers was kind of comical. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like, oh, that kind of sucks that this was your football growing up.
Wow.
Yeah, we complained about McNabb who was still throwing 300 yards, right?
Wow. I mean, yeah. Damn. I mean, I was like 9-29. Really? You know, I used to bitch and moan about McNabb, like you said, but my God, 9-29. But it was such a different game. So, you know, I guess completion percentage, nobody cared about. Because Danny White was 12 of 31 for the Cowboys. But 9 completions all game long, and Eagles win 20-7. What a bizarre... You know what's funny about football? Football, we remember things, and I think we remember things differently than what they really were. And that's a human characteristic. But I believe those guys were tough, right? Those guys were tough. But A, they were small. B, they were
not in the best of shape.
Right.
I was gonna say that, right. That's why we talk about if today's NBA players played the players of the 1980s, as great as Doc was, as great as Larry Bird played. I mean, let's face it, the guys would be running circles around the guys from the 80s because it was different. The way bodies have changed over the last 40 years, it's no shot toward those guys back in the 80s.
It's just science,
human science, everything has changed. I mean, Ben Simmons is 6'10" and he's a point guard.
Yeah. No. No, you brought up Ben. Can I say one thing? Nobody's listening, right? Just us.
Yeah, it's just you and me, man.
So every day, Massimo and I play NBA 2K. All right? So we play 2 games. And I got to put a stop. I got to put the limit on it. I said, dude, 2 games. Right? Because otherwise, I'll sit there burn all night. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that. So I go, 2 games. So we play our games. And we play a lot with the all-star teams. Right? So... And he likes to play. He and I are on the same team. So we play on the same team together. And yesterday, we were playing, and Ben's on the All-Star team. And I take a shot with Ben. Ben has the ball. And he goes, Daddy, don't shoot threes with Ben.
Oh, no.
Ben can't shoot threes. I was like, what? You're 7. How do you know that? And it was funny because he kind of knows, but he was like, don't shoot, don't shoot. He just turned 7. Like, don't shoot.
Yeah, he's not on social media seeing the people complain every single day.
He can't shoot at 3. I'm like, you too, son? You too, Dad? Oh, my God. Oh, it was funny. Anyway, I digress. But you're right. I mean, look at Ben's body type. Ben is ridiculous, right? Ben is a specimen. And, like, I look back and, those guys were small, right? Like, those guys were all the small. Like, they were tough. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guys were mean and they were a lot tougher than they are today. But they were smaller. They were slower. And the game was so different. Was the game even, like, it's almost football. I don't even know when you almost had to have a before and after.
There was no up-tempo, right? Like, it was the old 3 yards in the cloud of dust, that kind of stuff. And I don't want to spoil anything for the playback, but you'll hear when we do it at 12:20, when the Cowboys were losing and had the ball, they were the ones calling the timeouts. Now think about that for a second.
Wait. The Cowboys have the ball, and the Eagles are calling timeouts?
No. The Cowboys were the ones calling the timeouts because they couldn't get anything in the air. They had to run the ball.
Oh.
So there was 2 minutes left.
You're calling timeout on offense.
Yes. There's 2 minutes left. They can't throw it downfield, so they're running the ball, hoping to get something, and then calling a timeout.
Wow.
When it's normally, okay, you took a couple shots downfield, you go for it on fourth down, or you punt.
I don't want to be disrespectful, right? Because I love those guys, right?
Yes.
And I respect those
guys.
Special
place in your heart?
I do. And all the historians, and the Ray Dittingers. Like, I love old football and all that stuff. I respect it immensely, immensely. So I would never be disrespectful in that way. But shouldn't there be like a before and after?
100%.
Right? Like, the game's so different. You're going back to like I just 9-29. I can't fathom that.
Anthony, the two quarterbacks that game for the Eagles and Cowboys combined for under 250 yards passing. Under. Nick Foles and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl were close to 1,000. They were under 250.
That's crazy.
Quarterbacks are averaging 350 a game.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
Now, I get it. It was a below zero day. Like, it was an awful day.
No, it was freezing. No, it was freezing. In fairness, it was cold.
But let's face it. It's cold, and Russell Wilson is still throwing for 200 yards.
No, I know. Rodgers, Favre, you know. They're still throwing down the field. It doesn't get colder than Lambeau, right? And those guys are chucking it. Wow. Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. 9-29. That's a fallacy, right? Like, isn't that amazing to me? Oh, my God. All right, so we're going to kind of dive into that sort of thing. And what should be the cutoff? Like, what should be the before and after? And you almost got to do it like B.C. and A.D. We were approaching Easter, so you need like an A.D. to B.C.
Yeah, I mean, the league was... I've been enjoying doing these.
Before Cunningham, B.C.?
I mean, that makes sense, right? That makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just
mobile quarterback who threw it downfield.
Right.
He was well ahead of his time, but still. I don't. Do you also almost go 2000s?
Well, like 2000. Well, yeah, but you got. I don't know. All right, well, let's dive.
Or late 90s with the McNabs and the Culpeppers and the McNairs.
I don't know. I mean, do you start with. You're right. The Matty Brady era is different, you know? All right, well, let's bat that around. Are you worried at all that the start of football could be delayed?
Yes. I am, because of what Kirk Herbstreit said last week, and he's spot on. They're not going to have a vaccine anytime soon. They're working on it. But, you know, if this is still going on, and if it spikes in colder weather, it's going to be cold come football season.
But, dude, oh, my God.
I can't believe it, but I can see it happening.
But wait, if football is pushed back, then there's no baseball.
Yep.
We got a lot of playbacks to get to September.
We're gonna be doing we're gonna be doing Anthony and Massimo's 2K playback soon. Be playing highlights from your video games.
That's wild. Oh man, we need sports at some point. We gotta have sports.
Yeah, you think?
Like if someone said, like, let me ask you a question. They said, listen, here's the offer I want to make you guys. You got to sit in your house between now and say June 1st, we'll get things back to normal. But through up until June 1st, you got to be locked down. You'd make that deal, wouldn't you?
Am I allowed to come to work still?
Yeah, but you go to work. But again, status quo through June 1st. My point is,
I sign up for it.
My point is I'm afraid that this thing goes further than June 1st. Like, that's why I'm offering you a June 1 deal. Like, we'd all jump at that, right?
Yes, we 100% would.
Because nobody believes that come May 1st, we're back to normal, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone believes that. I would hope not. I don't think anyone should believe that.
Oh, man.
Keep social distancing.
Please, social distance. All right. We got lots to get to today. I want to give you the daily five, the Friday five, coming up. And I want you to think about that football question. The before and the after. This is off the 1980 NFC title game, January 1981. We will throw back to at 12:20. Lots to do. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Ah, welcome back. Cuz Radio with Chunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right. We're going to throw back to the 1980 NFC title game, which will be fun. At 10:50, we're going to wish a Philadelphia treasure a happy birthday, Chunis. We're going to wish him a happy 75th birthday. So we're going to do that at 10:50. Give him a call. At 11:20, our TV man from Hollywood is going to check in. He's a big-time television producer, does a lot of reality stuff, some documentaries, game shows. He's in L.A., and he's going to give us what to watch. So we want to focus a lot on television today and focus a lot on what you want to watch and what's going on. So let me give you the Friday Five for today, Chunis.
Okay.
All right. And now, again, we're going to give you, we also today are going to unveil the movie quotes today that Cousin Joey did in A Field of 64. All right? So, I sent them to you.
Yeah, we're working on them. I'm going to do two regions, and the great Nat Marlowe is helping us out today. He's going to do the other
nice,
two regions.
Nice. So, I'll just give you an example. I'll let you play the first one from Cousin Joey's sports region, the 116. You ready? Yo, Adrian, I did it. Versus the 16 seed, I don't play defense. Now, you know where that comes from? I don't play defense?
That's not a Blue Chips, is it?
No. Give you a hint, Space Jam. Who said it?
Oh, I don't play defense. Oh, is it Donald Duck?
It's Bill Murray.
Oh.
Bill Murray said it. So the one seed, Yo Adrian, I did it, versus I don't play defense by Bill Murray.
I'm sorry, Bill. I thought he was iconic in that movie. He was a great guard. Really helped turn the tide in the second half for the Toon Squad. But you got to go Rock in that one.
You got to go Rock. I agree. There's some good ones. Cousin Joey came up with some good ones. All right, here you go. So here's your Friday Five. You ready?
Yep.
Give me... Dude, can I tell you a story off of the question number one?
Yes.
So the question number one is, give me your best bust-out sports movie. All right? Not like an off-the-grid type of one. So not, you know, your Hoosiers, your Natural, blah, blah, blah. This is the, like, your bust-out one. So I'll give you what I watched last night. Little Mossy comes over. I'm on the couch. Daddy, 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 daddy. You want to watch Sandlot, which we've watched a thousand times. It was rent by, right? On the thing. I go,
yeah.
Dude, it's 10:30. I go, you know, another time we'll rent it. I said, let's see what else is on. And then we're doing baseball movies. And then he spies Angels in the Outfield. So we watched Angels in the Outfield. That's a great bust-out movie.
Yeah,
with
I
Danny
agree.
Glover.
I'm in.
Tony Danza. Tony Danza as Roger Clemens.
I didn't really like it as a kid, to be honest.
You're out.
No, I was kind of out. Cool. I didn't like it as a kid.
You're too cool for it?
I think that was a one and done for me because I can't tell you lines from it or scenes. I was a one and done Angels in the Outfield as a kid.
You were too cool for it.
Yeah.
I get it. All right.
I was a ball player. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know,
Listen, I made my catch.
He's seven, dude. You know what I'm saying? He's seven. Give me this. Give me your best sports 30 for 30 doc and the one you want to see. So think about that. Question number three is you get to recommend a show or movie. That we had good success with that question last week or 2 weeks ago that netted 000, which
and was Tiger King.
And Tiger King, which I still refuse to watch.
Oh, man.
Actor that you'll always watch. All right? So if the actor's in it, you're in. All right? And then your own favorite movie line. Those are your it's your Friday Five for today.
Can I give you number one right away?
Yes.
Best bust out sports movie?
Yeah.
Did you ever see Summer Catch?
Summer Catch? I don't think so.
How about...
Is that Quaid?
No. No, because all the Dennis Quaid movies are good. I wouldn't call them bust out.
Yeah, what, The Rookie?
Yeah, would you go Rookie Bust Out? I don't think that's bust out.
Yeah. You know a movie I never saw that I have interest in that I just never did? The movie where they go to India and they get those dudes playing cricket and they give them a tryout, the guy from the Pirates. You know that story?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
I'm trying to think what it's called.
I don't know if you saw it. Yeah, I don't know if you like it or not. No, you never saw it?
No, I did not see it. I'm trying to think what it's called.
All right.
But anyways, Summer Catch.
What's the...
Summer Catch is the plot? About the Cape Cod League.
All right.
So it's these young kids that, you know, when they're not playing, they're just boozing. Right, they're just hanging out and doing stupid stuff. Now the actors aren't that great. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. as the pitcher, as Ryan Dunn.
Wow.
The guy who plays the catcher is actually Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo movies. So
how could Shaggy be a catcher? Maybe he gets away with
being an outfielder. He's perfect because he's playing in the Cape Cod League out of like California. So he flies over from California. So he's like the surfer bro.
Oh, he's a dude. Yeah, he's good at baseball, right? Like that kind of stuff.
But the best part about it, Jessica Biel. A young, in her 20s, Jessica Biel. And she looks fantastic. And there's a specific scene, if people have ever seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. She's mowing the lawn in like a belly shirt, like what Ezekiel Elliott wears, but she actually looks good in it.
Yeah, it's quality. That's good.
It's a good movie. The manager, I got to figure out who the manager was, but he was
great in the movie. That's a good story.
So that's a bust out movie.
Yeah, Cape Cod, that's a good, that's a great, you know, it's great baseball up there. Isn't that wooden bats? Don't they use wooden bats up there?
They do.
Yeah, I always thought that was a good league.
And then Ryan Dunn ends up getting, in the movie, drafted by the Phillies.
Really?
And he gives the final scene is him giving a home run up to Ken Griffey Jr.
That would be a Phillies draft pick.
Yep, exactly. So that's my bust.
The Phillies would pick Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes, they would.
That's what they would. Right. We're going to go into next week. We'll resume diving deeply into the franchises. And we're going to do the farm system, and I mean they stink. They're the worst when it comes to the farm system. Now we're going to do farm system and fan appreciation. I think they're great at fan appreciation.
I agree.
Like when it comes to, you know, paying homage to, you know, some moment, something, they do great things. Like their vet stuff was awesome. Like, their vet tributes, they're a great tribute organization.
They are. I still remember, what was it, the final day at the vet or one of the final weekend maybe where they had players that could get there were there, and they all walked the outer field, and then they all stepped on home plate.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
No, the Phillies are top-notch when it comes to tributes and fan appreciation.
Yeah, the opening, the home opener where they walk in from center field. Right, and they shake the hands. Yeah, they do a great job.
They do a great job.
But then they draft Freddie Prinze Jr.
Right, but their personnel, their scouting,
and their GM and their minor league system wretched.
I'm pretty sure Shaggy actually turned out to be Andrew Knapp.
Really? They got to work to be bad. That's how inept that this group has been. Which I never understand. Like, do you understand? How could you be, how could two positions, like, think about this for 1 second. And I'm off on a tangent, but think about this for a second.
It's fair. It's a fair tangent.
All right? How could you, in my lifetime, all right? In my lifetime, have one power-hitting outfielder produce.
Yeah,
one power-hitting outfielder and two pitchers.
And that one outfielder was early in your lifetime.
No, the Burrow.
Oh, I was thinking the Bull.
No, I think they got it from somewhere else. I don't remember where they got the Bull. I don't think the Bull was homegrown. Was the Bull homegrown? I'm going to find out.
I'll check that out. But you're right about Burrow. So two. Two.
I'm a big fan of the Bull. He's a great dude, too, the Bull. And then pitchers, Hamels and Nola. How's that possible, Judas?
I don't know how it's possible. The Bull was drafted first round by the Phils.
Yeah. All right, well, what year? It was probably before I was born. I mean, come on.
First round of the 1968 draft.
I mean, come on, seriously.
Yeah, he started his career in the 70s.
Bull doesn't count. No.
Burrell, one.
I mean, one power-hitting outfielder in my lifetime.
You blinked and you had Don Brown.
I mean, like, and two pitchers, Hamels and Nola.
That's pretty bad.
Two starting pitchers.
Well, man, they had Brandon Duckworth.
I mean, I love Brandon. You know, Brandon is in the little league here.
Yeah, yeah, you told me that.
I love Brandon. I coached his son in basketball. He was on Massimo's team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, likes a little player.
That's probably funny. You probably pick the teams together, and you see Duckworth, and you're like, huh?
I did.
That's not a common last name.
I did. I think I went, wow, get out. Yeah. I went, is that Brandon? Yeah. I went, all right. No, but seriously, how inept could they be that in my lifetime they produced one power-hitting outfielder? And listen, bro was good, but he wasn't great.
No.
Right?
Right, yeah. He was a top 10 pick?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he gave you
and
good
two
years.
Pitchers. I mean, were you kidding me? I mean, are you for real with that?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's a joke. So anyway, I mean, I apologize going for that on that tangent, but that was it. The other question we're banging around early is, and this is off of the playback we're going to do later. The 1980 NFC title game, Cowboys and Eagles. And again, this is a monster because I didn't know anything. Like, when we grew up as Eagle fans, they're the ones that told us about you hate the Cowboys. Like, that was the first lesson.
Yes.
You hate Dallas. And you're jealous of that. You hate Dallas. And that was the whole thing. That was the first major victory over the Cowboys was that one. And that was, it was like, the celebration, the pure joy, it was amazing. So much so that, again, I'm a little boy, but you look back on it now, there's an easy, they played the Super Bowl. That they thought that was their Super Bowl.
Yes.
So, of course, they were going to lose to the Raiders.
Yes.
Amazing.
Sean Keenan tweets in, the cutoff should be 99. He says, so anything 99 before is B.C., 2000 after is A.D.
Okay, so 99 B.C. So that's, so Brady, yeah. All right, so McNabb is A.D.
Yes. Yeah.
Brady, Peyton. Now, Peyton comes into the league 98.
Yeah, they're drafted BC, but they really changed the league AD.
What about a guy like Favre? Like, see, I was thinking more mid-90s. I mean, Greatest Show on Turf was 99.
Yeah. Maybe go 90 and before? 90 and after for BC?
All right. I'm going to read you the Super Bowl year by year. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that'll help you figure out how good. So if you go back to, all right, 90 is Montana. Then you go into 93-4 is the Cowboys. 95 is Steve Young.
But 93, like Cowboys, that's more of the that's 3 yards.
That's Aikman, Emmett. I mean, is that not modern day? No?
I don't know. It was more of a run with Emmett. I know they had Michael Irvin.
Chip Kelly. I mean, that was a...
Yeah.
I mean, they ran basically a spread. I don't know. I mean, I'm asking you.
Yeah, maybe. So it's probably 90s and after. Is AD. That's when you do the cutoff.
You have the two Denver Super Bowls.
LAs,
now,
yeah.
But that's Terrell Davis. And then again, the 99 season is the Rams. And you got to go, Greatest Show on Turf's got to be modern day. 80s, you had the 85 Bears, right?
Right.
You remember that. Yep. You heard about that. That's kind of that seems like BC, right?
Yes.
That feels BC. Then you had that bad Giants, the Giants team, Giants Denver. Wow. 39-20. Crazy. You had the Niners.
I think you have to do AD. The cutoff has to be when you see the transition and it holds for a few years.
Right.
Right? Like it can't be like that outlier Super Bowl. Oh, because they threw the ball a lot, all of a sudden that's modern day.
In 1991, this is the wide right Super Bowl.
Yep.
20-19. And then here are your scores after. 37-24, 52-17, 30-13, 49-26. And then in 96, Dallas beats Pittsburgh 27-17.
I guess it's mid-90s. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to believe that. Let's go to Quaz, kicking off on the phones. Quaz, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Quaz, hey.
Guys, no. What's the deal, homie?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What would you make... If you're looking at the line between old football and mm-hmm. modern football,
okay.
what year would you make it?
I think I got the line of demarcation for me would probably be, wow. And the more you think about it, it keeps going further back. You know, it's hard. But I guess a fair spot would probably be when I don't know, maybe Reggie White. I'm thinking maybe.
All right, so you go mid-80s?
Yeah, but remember, Joe Montana was lighting it up back then. Marino was lighting it up. They was throwing the ball back then. Even Dan Fouts before then was throwing the ball.
Yeah,
so
I
don't know where, what are we dividing? I mean.
See, it's weird. Like looking at that NFC title game, Jaws goes 9 of 29. they won. That is Jaws, who to me, is the Pope of football in Philadelphia.
Yes,
9-29.
Sir. Right.
And Danny White from the Cowboys was 12-31.
Okay. All right. What I remember there, that was my first Super Bowl. That was my first, as far as memory. That's when I first sat down in front of the TV. I didn't have nobody have to sit me down. I wanted to watch the football, the Super Bowl. And it felt like the only thing I remember from that game is some guy named Jim Plunkett. Okay, I don't even know who showed up for us that day.
Pig face.
Yeah.
Remember, he looked like a pig. He had like the up nose.
He's Indian, right? He's Native American, right?
I don't know. I don't know what he is.
I think he's Native American.
I just remember he looked like he kind of resembled a pig.
Yeah, and nobody being mean, man. Nobody being mean.
I'm not being mean. I'm just saying he kind of had that, like, you know, people look like animals all the time. Like, you could probably, I probably look like a gorilla.
Yeah. Like, right. Agree. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm a primate myself.
So he looks like, he looks like a little bit of a pig. He's got a little pork in him.
He do. So, all right, we got to get into it because, you know, I can't stay long and, you know, I can talk forever.
Uh-huh.
But I have my final draft board.
Oh, you do?
I got my final draft board. Non-negotiable.
All right, lay it on me.
Right, and we won't discuss them today. I'll put the names and the numbers and all that in for you. But I definitely want to do the 5 at 5. I mean, the five. There's one question I didn't get, but I'll just answer that on the fly. But before I even do it.
Let's do this. I want you to answer the 5. Tonight we're going to keep it light. Next week, I got a draft expert coming on.
Oh.
All right. So my guy, Andre Odom, who used to be with the Bears, who's now an agent, is going to join us on Tuesday.
Okay.
So why don't you give me your draft on Monday?
Perfect. All right. We'll do it Monday. Yes. Let's do it. Okay.
Right.
So we'll hold back. Okay.
All right. Give me your 5. Here you go. Your bust out sports movie.
Draft day, of course. Draft day, of course.
You know, I never saw it. To this day, I never saw that.
Yo!
It was awful.
No. There was some unbelievable stuff in it, but guess what? It was such a feel-good movie. Was it really? My God. You cheer so hard at the end. You'd be like, that's what I'm talking about, my man. That's it. Yeah, it's a good feel-good movie. You got to see it. And I mean, it's on outlandish stuff, like stuff that happens in the first round for a running back. Nobody go gaga in a running back for a running back no more. We all know that. But it's based around that aspect of it. But when you get a chance, come on, keep them coming.
Give me your best sports doc or want to see sports doc.
Okay, it's a documentary you would make, right?
Uh-huh.
Mine would be titled, Who Really Picked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I love it. All right, real quick.
No,
because we gotta go. So I gotta get real quick. Recommend a show or a movie.
Ozarks. You better hurry up and catch up.
Ozarks season 3. We're catching up now. We're watching. We went back and watched season 2. We're watching season 2 now.
No, that's a new Breaking Bad. Go ahead, keep it moving.
All right, give me your favorite. If this guy's in a movie or a girl's in a movie, you're in.
Samuel L. Jackson. Best believe, homie. Best believe I'm taking Sammy off the board.
he's off the board. And then give me your favorite movie line.
Show me the money.
That's great. That's actually on Cousin Joey's list. Show me the money's on it. I'm going to give you that line. That's a 3 seed versus, you ready, Dodgeball. If you can't dodge a wrench, you can't dodge a ball. What goes forward? Quaz is gone? All right. Then you have to do it.
Dodgeball. No, I'm kidding. Love dodgeball, though.
Well, you can pick it. It's an upset.
No, I'll go show me the money.
Sure, you can do it.
Yes.
All right. Show me money. If you can't dodge a wrench, you can't dodge a ball. It's a good one. That's Cousin Joey's Field of 64 movie lines. All right, we'll come back in just a moment. We're going to make a birthday call to a Philadelphia treasure. Coming up next, it's Cuz Radio with Tune. It's right here on 97.5 The Fan.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. And you know what? It's a free beer Friday. Love the free beer Friday. Perfect, man.
Yeah, some nice cases of Labatt Blue. Labatt Blue Light to give away. Of course, the official import of the Philadelphia Flyers, who I miss dearly. Always drink responsibly.
I miss our boys. Speaking of the Flyers, you ready? So today is Bernie Perrant's 75th birthday. So I thought, you know what? He's a man of great cheer. He's a Philadelphia treasure, a legend. I thought it would be only right and show the respect to call him and wish him a happy birthday. You and I and the audience. How's that? Dial him up, Judas. See if he answers for the boat. The legend.
Oh.
Hello, is Bernie there?
He certainly is. Here he is.
Why, thank you, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Bernie Perrant. Happy birthday, Bernie Perrant.
Yeah, my God, I finally turned 55. How about that?
My man, only the Lord saves more than Bernie Perrant, baby.
You're the best. You're the best.
Oh, my God.
You're the best. You know, when you look back at the good years, you know, the good years we had, and there's still the good years ahead of us. It's a beautiful thing, you know. I believe quickly that it's very important for me, especially these times here, that the facts that are facing us are not as important as our attitude towards it. You know,
that's
very
right.
Important. Yeah.
No, you're an amazing guy, and not just from being an incredible goaltender, but you're a Philadelphia treasure, and you bring a lot of joy to people. You have a beautiful spirit. And you know, during a tough time, it was funny because I was talking to your lovely wife yesterday, and I said, I got to call Bernie. We got to wish him a happy birthday on the air. And so, you know, here we are on the air, and I'm like, you know what? Not only would it be great to wish you a happy birthday, but you are the perfect guy to talk to the people during this kind of crisis because you have a terrific way about you. Terrific spirit, and I think we need people like you during these tough times.
Well, you know, thanks. Thank you so much. I believe in situations like this, especially when everybody after so many days stuck to the house. You know, you can't communicate physically with anybody, you know, too much. And I believe, and this is the best time right now to focus on your vision, you know. And what I mean by vision, people say, what do you mean by vision is what is it that you love to do the most? Not how much you can make, who you can work for, but what is it that you would really love to do for yourself? You know, and once you find the answer, start dreaming about it. And it makes it, you know, makes life more easy. It's easier to move on with life. And, It's a great trip. Everybody was born with a great imagination, so let's use it to the right way.
That's right. That's a beautiful sentiment, man. So what are you going to do for your birthday? By the way, I saw a video of you making homemade gnocchis. There were some good-looking gnocchis, man.
Yeah, listen, I'm the best, man. I'm the best. I'm a beautiful cook, but they... I think that two things that we want to bring up is Jeannie and her family, her mom, you know, their fantastic cook, you know, directly from Italy, for God's sakes.
Yes.
And very important. And the as a matter of fact, the piece that was put together was done by our brother-in-law, Joe, you know, who is married to Jeannie's beautiful sister, you know, Julie. So, so, it all comes back to when you think about this, you know, we're talking here about different things in life and, you know, what you learn in sports and you have to apply this in life. If you want to be successful, you can't do it by yourself. You have to be surrounded by a good team. You win the Stanley Cup. Guess what? You don't win by yourself. You win because you have a good team. So life is the same way.
That's right.
Yeah, it's important to approach life that way. Yeah.
We're doing a lot of without sports. We're throwing back on the show and we're remembering a lot of games and the whole thing. How badly do you miss sports, Bernie?
Well, you know what? As a former athlete, you know, National Hockey League is what you miss the most in all professional sports. Really, is the beautiful people you perform in front. You know, I remember when we played, you know, in Philly, there was 17,000 there at 007, you know, and
17,000 007. That was the number at the Spectrum.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? And you know what? And when you have people like we had in Philly, we do have, I should say, you know, it's incredible as a player because it, once you step on the ice for us anyway, it elevates you to a different level because the crowd is so supportive, so loud, you know, and you react to this as a player makes you perform better. So you're talking about being grateful in life. I'm very, very grateful. I've spent most of my 12 years of my career in Philly. That's for sure.
Do you, did you think the Flyers, because I know you still pay attention, did you think they had a shot? I mean, this year it felt like they were real and they got a goaltender. What do you think about the kid?
Yeah, the kid is, what a gig. They have a combination here, with, you know, the two goalies that I had to remember when I played in Toronto with Charles Clement. You know, I was 25 years old. Plant was 41 years old, and I learned a lot from him. And there was no competition because, you know, you don't compete against a guy who's 41, and doesn't compete against a guy who's 25. And this is what we have here in Philly. And the kid, you know, the kid was funny. A quick little story. I remember I met him first time at the golf tournament, the Flyers golf tournament, and. Somebody, I was there with my wife, of course, somebody introduced us to the kid, you know, a tall kid, 21 years old, good looking. You should be in Hollywood, for God's sakes, good looking kid. And then he looks, you know, he looks at us and he goes, wow. And I figured, man, I made a big impression on him. Then I found out he was looking at my wife, you know.
Oh, that's great.
But you know what? They have a great coach. You know, they have a lot of good young players, manager, and it's not that the people before they came along didn't do a good job. They did. But these guys are bringing the best, and they have it beautiful. They're going to win the cup. You know, those guys. With those players, and they have the coaches and the whole bit. They're going to win the Stanley Cup here. You'll see it.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I really do. I think this is a team that is destined for it. I'm with you, Bernie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.